Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky. Keep your head.
Keep your
Shalom and peace and blessings, and optimism is the order of the day. I am your host, Elder V, and you are tuned into Wisdom Wednesday, brought to you by Al Moida at Last Ministries, House of Israel Deliverance Assembly, and we're coming to you a little bit later today. We also have Worshipful Wednesdays and Inspirational Wednesday, but today we want to title it Wisdom Wednesday. Hope that we can inspire you with some nuggets of wisdom. I pray that during your hump day, you're making it through, or that you've already made it through. And if you're listening in the archives, well, we say welcome. Peace and blessings, family. Shalom. Good thing to have you here and be back with you one more time. Doesn't matter what time we get it, as long as we get it in. So we brought you live here on Blog Talk Radio. And albeit a later time, on the East Coast and overseas. Some of our brothers and sisters are on the way home from work, had a long day on this hump day, and you got through it. Some of y'all still trying to get through it. And normally in the mornings, we do try to inspire you to make it through that day. But today, we just want to give you some wisdom and come out of the book and be able to give you some nuggets as you're contemplating the end of your day, what you're going to do for the evening, what you're going to cook, what you're going to say to your children, what you're going to say to your spouse, what you're going to say to your friends, and how you're going to ponder upon your future and the rest that your life has to offer. So much going on in the world all around us. And as the song said, optimistic, it's very important. It's crucial. It's essential to create an atmosphere, an ambiance, a vision, and try to be in control of the vicissitudes of your life so that you can learn how to encourage yourself. So important today because everything around you is pessimistic, and there are a lot of people around us with defeatist attitudes, high anxiety. Everybody's in a rush to get nowhere, and no one knows what tomorrow holds, which increases the anxiety. Not too many people take a moment to take in the essence of the right now. No one takes time to smell the flowers, to enjoy the view. This whole world is in a hurry and they don't even know why. And it's amazing because it was just this time of year, it seems like 3 months ago. And I don't know where the time goes. I was just talking to my wife about New Year's, how we were avoiding a function on New Year's just a year ago, but it seems like that was just recently. We're back at this juncture again, and we're trying to avoid the same function, needless to say. But time is fleeting. We don't really have the luxury of time anymore. When someone is wasting your time or taking your time, that's very serious now because it moves very fast. Unfortunately, you don't want to believe that this is for your benefit, that it moves so fast, because society, man, the powers that be, the elitists are doing a lot of things to destroy mankind. According to the Georgia Guidestones, they want to see population reduction. They think that's the best way to bring about, to get rid of climate change and global warming and to become sustainable is to not sustain the inhabitants of the earth, but to get rid of them. And they figure that's how they can become sustainable. These little eco-friendly green words that are being tossed around is all in the name of planet population reduction. And the Most High God, who's in control of everything, is speeding the time so that man is not as efficient at doing what he's doing through his science and technology and his geoengineering. And it's for your benefit. At the same time, what I want you to do know is that while he's doing that, I want you to maximize the repudiation of time by enjoying every second that you have, and especially with your loved ones and your family, and make words and make moments count, and let the past be in the past. Just let that happen. So I'm already dropping wisdom. We're going to give some more wisdom, but before I do that, I want you to listen to this song, Black Butterfly, because
you can do most anything you're
back. I'm Elder V. This is Wisdom Wednesday, and I love those lyrics so much. Sometimes you need to just let the beat just do what it's going to do and listen to the words that are being sang that are riding on top of the beat that's got you grooving. A genius has been asleep too long, and it's time to awaken. So we are awakening as the people, as the masses are awakening. What will you do with your awakening? It's time to make up for lost time. That's what time it is. All right, so we're going to do a reading today. And our reading is going to consist of the wisdom nuggets that we want to bring to you. What I want to bring to you today is give you some insight midweek, something that will help you to be able to get through and to carry you. And I want you to understand something. The people on the outside are simply that, people on the outside. And let them stay on the outside. Don't let nobody into your space that doesn't deserve it, and don't chase nobody to be in your space. Let people earn your time, because time is short, and let people prove. And then if you necessarily need to be around someone, let it be someone who has achieved much more than you and has something to pour into your life that can inspire you and teach you with all humility and not arrogance. I'm coming out of Ecclesiasticus, the 11th chapter, also known as the Book of Sirach. People like to say this is out of the apocryphal book, like it's some extra biblical book, hidden book. No, this is one of the books of Hebrew culture written by one of the wisest men in the world at one time, Solomon. That's it. That's all. Let's glean from these nuggets. Sirach 11 and 1. Wisdom lifteth up the head of him that is of low degree, and maketh him to sit among great men. This is a key to understand why we need to find wisdom, seek wisdom, and have wisdom. This is what will actually open doors for you. Let's see how much of this I can actually read and go through without commenting on, because it's so insightful. Verse 2. Commend not a man for his beauty, neither abhor a man for his outward appearance. The bee is little among such as fly, but her fruit is the chief of sweet things. Verse 4, boast not of thy clothing and raiment, and exalt not thyself in the day of honor. For the works of the Lord are wonderful, and his works among men are hidden. Many kings have sat down upon the ground, and one that was never thought of hath worn the crown. Verse 6, many mighty men have been greatly disgraced, and the honorable delivered into other men's hands. 7, blame not before thou hast examined the truth. Understand first and then rebuke. And we know we have a tendency to not get the facts before we fly off at the handle. And we should not make an accusation until one has examined the truth. Verse 8, answer not before thou hast heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. This is very hard for a lot of people to do, to shut up and let people talk and finish and wait your turn and not interrupt a person. Answer not. People have a tendency to provoke you to want to say something because they'll try to second guess and say things before you can say it. But impatience possess ye your soul, because this is what? It's wisdom. Answer not before thou hast heard the cause. Make sure you've heard it all. Verse 9, strive not in a matter that concerneth thee. Not. It doesn't concern you. Stay out of it. And sit not in judgment with sinners. Did you hear that? So we don't sit in judgment, make decisions, talk about people, point the finger, say what should be done with people who are sinners. What is sin? 1 John 3 and 2. Sin is transgression of the law. So people who habitually break the law, meaning like the commandments, the Ten Commandments, and have no desire to be pleasing to Yah, the Most High, there's nothing to discuss with them about making any firm decisions or judgments. It said don't even do it with sinners. And these are the people that are sinners that don't consider Yah, the Most High God. Let's continue. Verse 10, my son, meddle not with many matters. For if thou meddle much, thou shalt not be innocent. And if thou follow after, thou shalt not obtain, neither shall thou escape by fleecing. 11. There is one that laboreth and taketh pains and maketh haste and is so much the more behind. Verse 12. Again, there is another that is slow and hath need of help, wanting ability and full of poverty. Yet the eye of the Most High looked upon him for good and set him up from his low estate. You know, the ones that we look down upon, he will look upon and set them up and bring them up. And then you wonder how they came up, because you think you're doing all the right things to be up, and will kick somebody when they're down. And then the Most High will esteem them high, and you'll say, why them and not me? Let me continue. Verse 13. And lifted up his head from misery, so that many that saw it marveled at him, meaning the one that was in low estate. Verse 14, prosperity. I want you to hear this really good. Sirach 11 and 14. Prosperity and adversity, life and death, poverty and riches come from the Most High, Yah. While you're cursing your situation, you never know what the purpose of the situation is. If one is going through a problem, verse 14 said it comes from Yah. If one is being enriched, it comes from Yah. Life comes from Yah. Death comes from Yah. Riches comes from Yah. All comes from Yah. He said, behold, I create the good and the evil. Nothing happens without his permission. See, it's what you do. I heard somebody say this one time. One door closes and another opens, but there's hell in the hallway. What will you do while you're in the hallway when the door closes and you're waiting for the next one to open? That's the adversity. That's the hell. Sometimes that's the poverty. That's the abject not knowing. The disappointment, the disapproval, I'm lost, I'm in the dark. What do I do? You're fighting, kicking, and screaming because you don't see an open door. What do you do then? See, that's where you understand that he's in control and you're not in control. And then when you surrender the control, you sit and you wait. And you let fear dissipate, because Isaiah 54, 17 says, no weapon formed against us can prosper. And you say, greater is that that's in me than anything in the world. And you realize that, okay, he's in control and he promised to do me good. So obviously something's got to open. You wait for the light, which is the door opening, to tell you which direction to go. And he makes it so clear cut. Have you noticed that your life is not your own when you start to see how you're being steered and maneuvered in a certain way because things are just leading you that way and things are happening that way? Yeah, because you're not in control. The footsteps of your life have already been ordered, prescribed, and written, because Jeremiah 1 and 5 said, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you, I called you, I sanctified you. You're here with purpose, and you're sitting here fighting purpose the majority of your life, or self-medicating and numbing yourself because you don't like the hell in the hallway. You don't like the utter abject darkness and not knowing, because you need to be in control. And you're not in control of anything but your worship and praise to Yah. And if you can learn to worship him in the hallway, it won't be hell in the hallway. It can be hallelujah in the hallway. Hallelujah in the hallway. Are you rejoiceful? Are you grateful? Are you thankful? Are you seeking wisdom? Because wisdom would tell you that the door is not only closing, you should close the door and go the other direction. There's some doors you need to close, not wait for it to close. You need to close it. Where's your wisdom? Now, weeping endures for a night and joy comes in the morning. Your poverty endures for a season and then your prosperity comes. He'll never leave you nor forsake you or leave you without. You will have your season. And many of us have had seasons of prosperity and still didn't know what to do with it. And some of us, if we had it now, we would destroy ourselves, our temples, and other people. I know some people that are staunch givers, and they would give their money to a person who doesn't need it, who would go out and do drugs or do the wrong thing. We're getting ready to read a scripture in a minute that says who we're supposed to bless and who we're not supposed to bless. So let's continue. Verse 15. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the law are of the Lord. People who have wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the law, that only comes from Yah. We're nothing but gardeners, I said Saturday on the Shabbat. He gives the increase. Only he can open their understanding. Christ prayed in the end of Luke when he came back, and he had ascended and was walking amongst the disciples, and they didn't know who he was. He said, Father, open their understanding. When you begin to understand this law and you get wisdom, that comes from Yah. So pray for it and ask for it. Love and the way of good works, all that comes from him. He's the very essence of love. Doing good things, that comes from him. When you do these good things, when you love people, when you forgive people, when you meditate, when you float in an equal basis and learn to love everybody outside of race and what they do, you begin to float and roll in him, because when evil consumes you and that anger overtakes you, it affects you. Now, trust me. I know love chastens. Love don't kiss butt. Love don't skip through the daisies. Love will tell somebody about themselves too. So let's not get it twisted. I'm not talking about this universal love. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that gives long suffering and tolerance. Okay? Verse 16. Error and darkness had their beginning together with sinners. That's where that comes from, making mistakes and the darkness that all started with sinners. And evil shall wax old with them that glory therein. Verse 17, the gift of Yah remaineth with the godly, and his favor bringeth prosperity forever. If he has favor on you, man, I'm in sales. Right before I hit the pavement and used to do what I did, I would always say, give me favor. Give me favor, and I would get those sales. And that's why I would do good. I would ask him, give me favor. I'm working. Give me the increase. So I don't worry about what quotas are and what people expect. Give me favor. And that should be your prayer today. Father, give me favor, because he brings prosperity. I know you didn't lost a lot of money, but I bet you now you know what to do with it, don't you? And how to be wise. Pray for wisdom. Verse 18. There is that waxeth rich by his wariness and plucking, and this is the portion of his reward. Sirach 11:19, whereas he said, I have found rest and now will eat continually of my goods, and yet he knoweth not what time shall come upon him, that he must leave those things to others and die. Yeah, just when you think you done made it and you done got it, you done got rich, he'll take you up out of here. What's your focus? Verse 20. Be steadfast in the covenant and be conversant therein and wax old in thy work. Be steadfast in the covenant, meaning of the law, and always talk about the law, converse about the law. Verse 21, marvel not at the works of sinners, but trust in the Lord and abide in the labor, for it is an easy thing in the sight of the Lord on the sudden to make a poor man rich. I don't think you heard that. Don't sit back and be amazed at what these so-called wealthy people have, these billionaires. I just saw a man who's supposed to be a pastor and a preacher. He's worth a billion. Boy, that almost got me. I'm like, how the hell? You're going to be a billionaire and you're a pastor. Pastor, I don't see how pastors can be rich, because you should be blessing so many people. There should be nobody in your congregation that doesn't have a house. Nobody in your congregation should be without a house. That's why I'm saying that. But at the same time, he's not a sinner, but he told me not to look at other people's riches. That's covetousness, and not to do it. It's nothing. Yah just said it's nothing for him to take somebody poor and make them rich like that. And I'm not talking about the lottery, but you think it can only happen through means of material, physical things that you can put your hands on. Do you know there's nothing he can't do? He could make you walk out your house and trip on a bag of money. He could make somebody just put some money in your account. There's nothing Yah can't do. A check can come in the mail. I mean, did he not tell the disciples to look on the other side, pick fish up out the water, and they had gold coins in their mouths? Do y'all remember that? Other people would call that magic. especially these people who want to throw out the Apocrypha because they say it's witchcraft in there. Why didn't they call that witchcraft? Him making gold coins magically appear in a fish. Simple. That's what you are. Marvel not at the works of sinners. Verse 22. The blessing of Yah is in the reward of the godly. The blessing is in the reward of the godly. And suddenly he maketh his blessing to flourish. It's suddenly. Listen to these words suddenly. You're going to hear this all the time. Let me go back to 21. It said that it is an easy thing in the sight of the Lord on the sudden to make a poor man rich. He's saying suddenly. I can do it out of nowhere. 22, he said it again. And suddenly he maketh his blessings to flourish. You don't even see it coming. And that's the amazing miracle because he wants to make sure nobody gets the glory. You'll say it's my hard work. It was my investments. It was the houses I bought. I made this little move. I started this business. No. When he does it suddenly so you can be amazed and everyone around you can be amazed. He don't share his glory. 21, the blessings of the Lord is in the reward of the godly. 23, say not. What profit is there of my service? Uh-oh. Let's say it again. Verse 23. He said, don't you say this. What good is there for me to keep doing all this work? This is just not working for me. What good is this to keep doing all this work? Why am I laboring like this? Why am I helping people? Why am I keeping the commandments? Why am I staying faithful? Why am I walking away from the world? He said, don't start even talking like this. Sometimes I wonder why I even do this. Don't even let that come out your mouth. Do what you do with what he puts around you. And you do the best you can with the little bit you got. Say not what profit is there of my service and what good things shall I have hereafter. 24 again, say not I have enough and possess many things. Here again, he's giving instruction. Listen to me closely. Don't say, I'm cool. I got all I need. Ain't nothing can touch this. I got my investments. We good now. Got my shoddies, my gold coins, got a couple of houses, a couple of stacks over here, Swiss bank account. Rolling, kids is doing good. Got me a couple of vehicles. This is how y'all get. He said, don't do it. I can't get like that because I ain't got that. But when you get it, you're like, yeah, I'm set. You'd be the first one to die and leave all that here. Or the first one for him to blow on it, and then you lose it all. Let's talk about the people in the forest fires. Let's talk about the people in the storms in Florida and Houston. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I know this guy who worked hard in L.A. in tech, and when we built him $1 million house up in Paradise, California, and it's gone. And these insurance companies aren't paying, y'all. They are not paying these people back. They're trying to settle with them, give them a little bit of money, and tell them to go somewhere else. They don't want them up there. Verse 25, in the day of prosperity, there is a forgetfulness of affliction. Do you hear that? The moment somebody gets rich, they forget what they was going through and they were suffering, the pain they were in, how they was working hard, had bunions on their feet, calluses on their hands, cataracts on their eyes from staring at the computer. You forget what you went through to get it. It's gone. It's over. You forget that you suffered, and you forget how other people are still suffering when you get money. You turn your back on the homeless and those still struggling. In the day of prosperity, there is a forgetfulness of affliction. And in the day of affliction, there is no more remembrance of prosperity. Make him make you sick, and you'll forget that you got money. After you just spent everything on every witch doctor and herb and holistic health tonic, and nothing's getting you better. Suddenly that steak and lobster and champagne and yachts don't mean nothing. Do you hear the duplicitousness of this scripture in verse 25? Yeah, you know, when you're rich, you forget. And then when you're sick, riches don't mean nothing, and they deplete fast. There are homeless people who used to be rich, who lost everything. A bad stock, a bad divorce, then a bad sickness, then it's all over. Recognize, verse 26, for it is an easy thing unto Yah in the day of death to reward a man according to his ways. That's right. I tell people all the time, you're living your funeral right now. You don't need to have one once you're gone. And people trying to put you in heaven and hell, that's over. Have a memorial or something. Or go have a toast to them, but it's over. The funeral's already been lived while you're living your obituary. You're living it every day. Nobody got to speak over you and say what you did. Should be in the history books. And only what you do for Christ will last. Verse 27, the affliction of an hour maketh a man forget pleasure. Whoo! Well, I'm going to tell you, I've got this thing that they call gout that will pop up. Boy, everything is out the window. I'm going to confess, when that comes, whew, forget everything. That has to be addressed, not a nice thing. The affliction of an hour maketh a man forget pleasure. And in his end, his deeds shall be discovered. Now, what he's saying right here is that once a lot of people pass, then the truth really comes out that people have hidden about their lives, that live in secret, especially a lot of people with money and wealth that want to give you an image of who they want you to see them as, and they're living up under a facade. And the Most High will destroy that image and let everybody see, like, ah, I see, he was a damn crook. That's how it goes down. Let's keep reading this little wisdom nuggets. Verse 28, judge none blessed before his death. Judge none blessed before his death. You're not blessed until after the matter is all said and done. We'll determine that later. For a man shall be known in his children. Now, I have said this one all the time, and I can't get parents to understand this. Probably sometimes not even, you know, well, I won't say not even my parent, but let me say something. A lot of our Hebrew parents don't understand that their legacy is their children, not what they leave for their children. How they act when you're gone, do they reflect what you stood for that was good? This is what this verse is saying. It says, for a man shall be known in his children. That's the deposit that the world needs to see that you leave behind. That's why a man leaves seed. Let's keep it going. Verse 29. Listen to me real good. Please listen to me real good. This is a public service announcement. Verse 29 is Ecclesiasticus 11:29. Bring not every man into thy house, for the deceitful man hath many trains. He will bring all kind of cabooses and luggage. You don't know who the hell you bring in your house. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to confess, we had a couple in our house 3 or 4 years ago. We laughing, having a good time. The Ruach, Holy Spirit said, you don't know who the hell you got sitting up here on your couch. And it came and proved itself to be true not more than 2 years after, or maybe a year after. All they tried to do was destroy I and my wife's marriage, come against us, try to split us up or talk bad about us or try to find dirt on us, because they were not true citizens of Yah, Yah's kingdom. They had much work to do. And we just looking for friends. Oh, let's come on. This is a new couple. They in the truth. No, they wasn't. And then on top of that, you know, brothers, you already know. You don't be bringing brothers in the house around your wife. Sisters, you already know. You don't be bringing sisters in the house around your husband. More often than not, Satan is going to jump on them to break up what y'all got, or to lust after what you got, covetous. I don't care if your wife don't look like Beyonce. They'll still lust to see if they can creep and get with her. I don't care if she look like two rocks sitting on the side of the road. That spirit will jump on a person because you don't know who you're bringing in your house. It's called a spirit of fornication and adultery and whoredom and lust. And Satan will anoint them just to destroy the holy union of marriage. But you never know who. Don't bring everyone into your home. And that home also includes your congregation, your fellowship, your gathering. Bible said, know them that labor amongst you. People will lie and hide and present an image to you. Let's keep it going. Selah. It says, for the deceitful man hath many trains, like as a partridge taketh land and kept in a cage, so is the heart of the proud. And like as a spy, watcheth he for thy fall. See, that one that you bring in, they can't wait to see you fall. One of my favorite sayings that I always say, familiarity breeds contempt. Somebody get close to you, they're going to despise you. They only want to get close to you to find your weakness. That shouldn't make you be fearful of other people. Just should make you mindful of other people and call them on their agenda. So what is your purpose here? What you need from me? I call people on the carpet all the time. And people want to get mad at me because I've got the testicular fortitude to do so. I've got family members that don't even like the fact that I do so. But that's the gift that he gave me. Verse 31. For he lieth in wait and turneth good into evil, and in things worthy of praise will lay blame on thee. He'll lay blame on you. Things that you should be praised for, he'll blame you. Don't you know people will be envious of the anointing? People are envious of your calling. People are even envious of your resiliency. Even if they say things about you that are true and you fall down and you get back up too quick for them and the Most High blesses you, people don't like that. That's called being jealous of the gifting and anointing and the call that's upon your life, because you're not normal. You're anointed and you're called. Verse 32, of a spark of fire, a heap of coals is kindled. And a sinful man layeth wait for blood. Can't wait to see you get hurt. It's just like when Apostle Paul went to the island, where he was bit by the snake. And I think it was Meta Island or something. But nevertheless, after he was bitten by the snake, I never really paid attention to it until a few weeks ago. That after he was bitten, didn't nobody try to help him, wrap his arm, get God's, bring him out. Nobody tried to do any of those things for Paul when he was attacked by that snake. Do you know what they did? They sat back and said, let's wait and see what's going to happen. This way we'll know if he's anointed by Yah, if he's called by Yah. Let's wait and see what transpires. And that was the case. They waited to see. And sure enough, he shook the snake off. He didn't swell up. There was no poison. That's the same thing with you. People counted you out and they're pissed that you're still alive. You're not dead. You didn't swell up and you shook the snake off and you're still rolling for the Most High. That's what this scripture is talking about right here. When they lie in wait for blood. Verse 33, take heed of mischievous men, for he worketh wickedness, lest he bring upon thee a perpetual blot. Receive a stranger into thine house, and he will disturb thee and turn thee out of thine own. You just can't do it. You just can't receive a stranger into your house. You have to know. They have to be proven. You have to use wisdom. You have to make provisions before you go to that extreme. It's almost like I'm going to make you a tent in the backyard. I'm going to let you sleep in the garage until I find out who you are. But I'm not going to leave you out here. I'm going to help you out there. So my wife will tell you in a minute, I'm hard on the street and homeless because a lot of them are out to trick and play with you. Let me, bro, I'm hungry. I need a few dollars to run around the corner and get some crack. I'll tell you they're in the need and they're not right because they're influenced by Satan. You got to get that devil out of them. You got to cast them demons out. And all the time, your money ain't no good. I had to tell my dad this the other day because he'll give away the baby and the bathwater. Paul came out and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. We don't have to give up the money all the time. We have to give up this anointing and this power that's on us and cast these demons out. Let me read this to you in Sirach 12. When thou wilt do good, know to whom thou doing it to. Don't be just blessing everybody. so shalt thou be banked for thy benefits. Know who you bless and know what's going on. See, once again, he's telling you, find out. Don't just be dropping a dime, dropping a quarter, talking about I did my good. Don't be going to some church or some gathering, some camp, just giving up money, don't know where the money's going to. You need to know what's happening. Verse 2, do good to the godly man, and thou shalt find a recompense. And if not from him, yet from the Most High. Now let's get the key. First, number 2, he said, do good to the godly. See, there are those who are godly who are struggling. See, he told us the poor we will have with us always. You know the ones that are striving and loving him with all their might. And they just need a little something, and you bless them. But you can see this humility and this love for Yah and for people, and that if they had it, they would give it. You bless them. You got to understand that the barren woman saw that Elijah was a prophet of God and told her husband, we need to make this man a room and bless him because he's out here doing the work of Yah. Prophesying, he needs a place to sleep and some food to eat. Let's make him a room so when he come through, he got a place to lay. What happened? Her womb got open and she got blessed. Recognize. Verse 3. He also said that the Most High will bless you when you do this. Listen to 3. There can no good come to him that is always occupied in evil. Separate yourself from evil people and people that's trying to pull you into evil things. There's nothing good coming to you. Nor to him that giveth no alms. Listen to this. In verse 3, he said, nothing good is going to come to you if you don't give no money. If you're not blessing somebody who's pouring into your life and prophesying, or if you're not helping somebody who's godly, there's nothing going to happen for you. You're wondering why things ain't happening because you're not giving. It's true. We think it's a Christian church thing. No, we focus on our lack instead of focusing on somebody else's need. And we get it twisted. And the Most High said, find the godly who has a need and bless them. And he will take care of you. He just said it in verse 2. So it is a principle. It's true. Solomon said it right here. Verse 4, give to the godly man and help not a sinner. Do not further the cause. This is why I'm talking about. I'll be telling my dad, stop giving everybody all this food because some of these folks ain't going to do nothing but continue to do wicked. You can't bless those that aren't godly because they will do wickedness. You might take your money and go to the strip club. Go commit adultery. Go get high and just lay up. Bless the godly man. Do not bless the sinners who break the laws habitually. Verse 5, do well unto him that is lowly, but give not to the ungodly. Hold back thy bread and give it not unto him, lest he overmaster thee thereby, for thou shalt receive twice as much evil for all the good thou shalt have done him. Why? Because verse 6, for the Most High hates sinners and will repay vengeance unto the ungodly and keep them against the mighty day of their punishment. Give unto the good and help not the sinner. I've heard that 3 times so far in verse 12. But what you're not listening to is 5. You're going to get twice as much evil for giving money to the evil. Let me read some more of this. I got some more time. Verse 8, a friend cannot be known in prosperity, and an enemy cannot be hidden in adversity. In the prosperity of a man, enemies will be grieved, but in his adversity, even a friend will depart. Never trust thine enemy, for like as iron rusteth, so is his wickedness. Though he humble himself and go crouching, yet take good heed and beware of him. Thou shalt be unto him as if thou hast wiped a looking glass, and thou shalt know that his rust hath not been altogether wiped away. I want to stop there because I do want to focus on do not give to sinners, give to the godly. You will reap double evil for doing what you're doing because he will master over you and play you and use you. He said, don't even give him your bread. There's rules to this thing, saints, Hebrews, brothers and sisters. As Elder Bowie say, Pastor Bowie say, OG Christians, the original Christians. As Pastor Dawa said, you Israelites. Come on, y'all, let's wake up and let's do this thing right. There are constraints, there are rules to this. That's what Blueprint for Life is, and I'm going to have to get back on top of that Blueprint for Life so you can understand how these rules and laws work today and not just blow past that. I want you to see this. So that was your Wisdom Nuggets for Wisdom Wednesday, and I think I dropped a dime because I dropped a dime on myself to be mindful that don't focus on your lack. Take what you have and give alms. He can't bless you unless you give it. And you're to give to the godly, those who are trying to be godly and keep these commandments. And the Most High will place them in your path. See what you're going to do. And you wasting your time giving to that man that's about to go do dirt, do evil, get turned up, probably homeless because the judgment of Yah has come upon him for some wickedness he did to some Hebrews. You don't know what you're doing. Chill out. Just don't have to be evil. All right, this is Elder V. I'm not going to belabor the point. I think it spoke for itself. We read out of Ecclesiasticus, the 11th chapter and parts of the 12th chapter for Wisdom Wednesday at a different hour this day. But it was the best hour, the greatest hour. It was Yah's hour. And all praises be unto him. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, bless my people to pray for wisdom. Teach them. Pray for wisdom. Give them wisdom. It's the principal thing. May they have wisdom in this hour to be wise, to be harmless, to be loving, but to be wise and to be sharp and to sharply rebuke what needs to be rebuked in love, but in power and strength of the Ruach. For we know love chastens, and you chasten them that you love, and you've given us that. Give my brothers the testicular fortitude. Give my sisters the virtue, the queenship. Take away that old rolling of the neck and turning of the neck, but let them walk in regalness and learn how not to let their lips snap and pop, but check somebody in love and kindness and in the Ruach with sternness like the old church mothers used to do, so that we can bring our people to the unity of the faith and bless those that need to be blessed. Give us eyesight to see those who are living godly who have a need. Father, you know what we need, but we have some things, and we'll take what we have and give to them. Show us where to go. Help us to build your kingdom and help my people to become wiser in you as we go from day to day, week to week, and year to year in you as we patiently await your return. We know it's a shadow of things to come. We wait for you, but in the meantime, we love you and we praise you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. So be it. All right, this has been Elder V, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Leave you with our theme song, the Inspirational Wednesdays, Worship Wednesdays, Wisdom Wednesdays. It's be optimistic, keep the faith, and keep your head up. Shalom.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.